So as I reflect again on these 46 years, I do so remembering you, God's own people, the royal priesthood, who also serve as vehicles of God's grace to help heal what is infirm and complete what is lacking and inadequate in our relationships with one another. As I mentioned, I was born and raised in Los Angeles. I usually don't say that too often, in Northern California. San Franciscans don't have a very positive view of Los Angeles. When I was born, Athenagoras I was the Archbishop of the Greek Archdiocese of America. He later became Patriarch of Constantinople in 1948. Growing up in the 50s, Archbishop Michael was the Archbishop of the Greek Archdiocese, a man who had been trained in England, from Greece, trained in England, very spiritually grounded. He served for about 8 years. He succeeded Archbishop Athenagoras, and he served until about 1958, until his repose. That was the year that I entered the seminary, 1958. Another bishop that you may have heard of, Athenagoras Kokkinakis. He was bishop of what was then the fourth archdiocesan district. It's in California here. Later became a bishop of New England, and he was dean of the seminary, our seminary, of the Holy Cross. And then he became later Archbishop of England. I just mentioned some of these names, you may have heard of them. And then later, of course, was Archbishop Iakovos, who succeeded him. I actually remember I was in my first year at the seminary when the Archbishop Iakovos became Archbishop, was elected, and we went through his enthronement in New York. I was just completing my first year. Then Archbishop Spyridon, during a very difficult period in the Archdiocese, in the life of the Archdiocese, and then, of course, our present Archbishop Demetrius. I'm sure you've heard of, you know of him and his work, and his scholarly work. Well-respected, a man deeply rooted in his faith in the Lord. And now, of course, our present metropolitan, we no longer were diocese, now we're metropolises. Well, we'll get into, maybe we can ask some about these jurisdictional things and so forth. Anyway, that's Metropolitan Gerasimos. Before that was Metropolitan Anthony of blessed memory. Obviously, I very, very indebted to so many people throughout my life who gave an example to me and helped to shape who I am and form me as a person. First of all, my parents. I remember they were both immigrants. I'm a first generation. My dad had come to this country actually as a very young man, maybe 16 or so. And it's interesting, recently I went on to Ancestry.com, try to get some, because that's one thing I really, he died, I was relatively young, I was 24 years old when my dad died. And I regret not having spent more time with him. Growing up, you're a teenager, you're into yourself, you're doing your thing. Then you're a student, you're still thinking only about yourself and your future and so forth. Didn't have enough time to really sit down with him and get a clearer picture of his experiences. But he came actually the early part of the last century. And then in 1939, at the age of about 50, he decided that he didn't want to be alone any longer. He went to Greece to visit his family and so forth, and decided, and hopefully to find a wife, which he did. My mother was a very devout person. Again, some experiences I remember growing up, I would, during Lent, we do the, obviously we do pre-sanctified, but we also did very popular service in Greek practices, the salutations to the Virgin Mary. which we divide up. I mean, you do the Akathist, obviously, and the whole all of your salutations towards the end of Lent. But in Greek practice, we divide it into four stanzas and do each on Friday evenings along with the Akathist hymn. So when we couldn't go to church, she would grab my dad and me and we'd stand in front of the icons. She always had her icons, obviously, and her votive light, lighting her candili, as we say in Greek. And she would just read the service. I didn't understand a thing. She was all in Greek, obviously. And it wasn't until later that I really learned to appreciate that example. And then so many priests, as I mentioned, Father Anthony Costouris, Father Homer Demopoulos, Father Leon Kontos, some of you may have heard, Father Photios Pentikis, he's retired. The ones I mentioned have passed on to the Lord. Father Photios is still living. He's retired, elderly, late 80s, close to 90, and living up in Bellingham, Washington. And of course, Bishop Demetrius of Olympus, who was the bishop who ordained me. I was ordained a deacon on Saturday and a priest on Sunday. Didn't give me a chance to remain a deacon very long. But I think of these people, obviously my parents, Panayotis, Peter, and Fotini, and all these priests and bishops. And I mention them only because you may have heard of them, or maybe some of you knew them personally. But so deeply appreciative and grateful for their love, their guidance, their example. It's unfortunate you don't realize it until you're older, right? In a lot of cases. So I'm really grateful to God for their example. I have to mention, though, one who's been a great support in my life, and I'm sure you can guess who that is. But before I introduce my presbytera, Kay, a story that I have repeated many times. This was 1988. We were in Washington, D.C. for the clergy, our biannual Clergy Laity Congress. And that's the year that Patriarch Demetrius, at that time of blessed memory, had visited the United States. Patriarch Bartholomew was one of the bishops in accompanying him at that time. Anyway, we had a gathering, just the priests and presbyteras, with the patriarch. And Archbishop Yakovos of blessed memory wanted to sort of, I guess, show off the priests and so forth. So, so he had us all stand up and wanted to present us to. There was quite a few of these, these gatherings. So, present us to the patriarch. And so he looked out and he says, "I really can't see them too clearly without their wives." So, and that's how I know all of us as priests who are married feel about our wives, especially in my case, Presbytera Kay Kantiana in Greek. I've been blessed to have a companion in life who has shared her life very unselfishly, totally unselfishly, very lovingly. And her love and her support and her devotion have enhanced, we'll say 100-fold, 1,000-fold, and complemented my ministry in many ways. And just ask our children and grandchildren, she's the hero of our ministry. We have three children who are in their 40s now, married, so we actually have six children now, counting those spouses, and nine grandchildren. So we feel truly blessed. They're really our treasure. Both my parents and Brigitte's parents have gone on to be with the Lord, but their influence was profound, and we're deeply grateful for their love and their example. I remember my professors and classmates at seminary, who we studied and dreamed to serve the Lord. A lot of years have passed, and they sometimes say, I've heard this, that the 50s were sort of an innocent time. Well, I don't know how innocent they were, but I guess by comparison today, at least outwardly speaking, they were. And at that time, our Seminary of the Holy Cross in Brookline, Mass., Massachusetts, that's a suburb of Boston, as you know, it was established in 1937. It is now this Hellenic College, which was founded, around, I think, around 1970, and Holy Cross as a school of theology. So it's an open campus, it's a different atmosphere, although it's still the camaraderie is very, very important. But the time when I was a student, it was strictly a seminary, only for men. Couldn't be married. You could only be married after you graduated. And we took forward to be trained as priests, really to serve a Greek-American community here in America. So we were full of zeal, and all of us were, well, almost without exception, between 18 and 24 years old. So we were just children in many ways, but full of zeal and ready to go out and conquer the world. And then we met the world, and hopefully we didn't get conquered, but we we realized the challenges, but that God is always faithful, and He's always with us. And that the message needs to be witnessed to, proclaimed, and we invite those who hear to come. God does not compel, He invites. So, in those years, though, we were again being trained, really. Our training was in Greek. The services were all in Greek at that time. Things have changed a great deal. Our classes were taught in Greek. We took notes in Greek. We took exams in Greek. We wrote term papers in Greek. So we had to. So it was a good training. But again, it was a Greek-American community, which has changed dramatically, though, in those years, over 50 years now. I was ordained in 1966. My first assignment was as an assistant to Father Anthony Kosturis at the Holy Trinity Church in San Francisco. You're probably familiar with the church on Brotherhood Way. Yes? No? Okay. Well, hopefully you visit. I spent 1 year exactly, and then I was assigned my first parish as a pastor to St. Basil Church in Stockton in 1967. Always remember Father Anthony, as I said, was a great help to me, an example, a mentor, a guide. He would never call me his assistant. I was always his associate, never assistant. I miss him very much. It was always someone, when something comes up, Father, how do we handle this? What do I do about this? Now I'm pleased and blessed to be able to be in a position where someone will call me once in a while and say, what do I do about this or about that? And so but it was a great blessing.